Heavenly Father, I just thank you for each person here. I thank you that you are here mostly because you are going to help us understand you as well as one another. And you are going to help us understand that we can work through hard issues in a way that God, as we do it with you, that not only can we somehow get through those issues, but God, that you would even improve our relationships with one another, especially our spouse. That God, you would help us to understand that you're here, that you care, that you're involved, and that you want to teach us something today that will be practical. And so God, we pray this wouldn't just be a sermon. We pray this would be very, very practical for each one of us. God, that none of us would leave today without something from you. And I pray that you would do that now because we ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, let's jump in. We're going to talk about couples that need crucial conversations. How many know that communicating with each other about difficult issues can be absolutely the hardest part of a relationship? Is that right? I mean, you can see them up there trying to, you know, whatever they're talking about, and here we go. And we start going down this path, and I'm gonna, you know, you'll get my sense of humor after a while because, you know, it just, otherwise it's depressing just to think of how badly it can go and how quickly it can go badly. So what we're gonna talk about is hard conversations. We're not talking about please pass the butter. We are talking about hard conversations, hard communication about difficult issues. And I want you to circle Ephesians 4:29. Just circle that for now. I'd like you to memorize it. If I could, if I was coaching you, the first thing I would assign is I would assign you to memorize this verse. Look at this verse. Let no unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. That is an action-packed verse. Let's take it apart. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. It turns out the only reason that God has given me the ability to language is to build you up. Wow, really? What if we took all the negative words out of our lives? What if we took all the negative words out of our culture? Might be the silent planet. I mean, who knows? There's so much, you know, I'm here to give you my information. I'm here to give you a piece of my mind. I'm here to tell you what. No. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths. Now, this is not just God saying don't swear anymore. Stop cussing each other out. I'm sure it includes that, but it's so much more. Any unwholesome talk, putting people down, demeaning them, ridiculing them, dissing them. Don't let any unwholesome talk. And then he develops that. Don't let it come out of your mouths. Sometimes I talk to people and they say, well, okay, so I thought we need filters on our hearts. We need filters on our minds. This is saying put a filter on your mouth. You know, like, Pastor Paul, which one is it? I'm going, yes, all of them. I need to be transformed by the renewing of my mind. My mind is someplace I need to think about what I'm saying. My heart is where, you know, out of the heart, the mouth speaks, if you know your Bible. We don't just, you know, our heart, I show you what I'm really thinking or what I really think about you when I begin to speak. But I also need it on my mouth. If you want more on that, go to the book of James. Talks about how the tongue is this small little thing that can turn ships, it can start forest fires, the tongue is amazing. We have to have a filter on our mouth as well. But only what is helpful for building others up. Again, I need to figure out if I'm going to talk to you, if you're going to talk to me, if we're going to talk to our spouses, I need to find out not just what I need to say, but how that can build you up. And he doesn't stop there. He says, according to their needs. It turns out, I got to know what you need. I don't know what you need. That's part of my problem. I know what I need. Let me tell you. But what you need, we'll talk about that as we go through. I need to make a study of you. 1 Peter 4 talks about husbands, live with your wives with understanding. I need to know what you need so that it may benefit those who listen. When you come away from a conversation with me, if I'm your spouse, you should feel benefited. Wow, that was challenging. Wow, that was encouraging. Wow, that was the truth. Wow. Oh my goodness. That would take half the conversations of the world away. This is Ephesians 4:29. I not only memorized it, I made my family memorize this verse. This is, you know, your life verse. Yeah. This is one of those. That's your litmus test, guys, folks, for our words. Why? Because our words matter. Now, I'm setting you up. We're not even to the good stuff yet, but I'm setting you up. Is that okay? You feel set up? Good. I'm setting you up. I'm going to set you up with a number of things and then get to the good stuff. But the good stuff will make more sense if I can set you up here. I'm going to talk about a little bit about active listening skills. Because not only are we talking, we're doing, how are we talking? What are we saying? How are we doing it? And the first active listening skills, and this won't be new to anybody who's taken Communication 101, is be conscious of body language. How many know that you are all sending messages to me right now? I'm sending messages to you. How I dress, how I stand, my facial, we are, whether we like it or not, we are sending messages constantly. Why has God given us, you ever ask this question, why has God given you the ability to look at somebody and size them up so quickly? My wife and I'm showing our age, but back in the day, do you remember the day before 9/11 when you could actually go to airports and just kind of stroll through the you know, walk down the streets and kind of watch people? I mean, the French have made a national pastime of this. It's called the Champs-Élysées. First you walk, and then you sit down and watch other people walk. I mean, it's a national pastime. I mean, it's what you... We used to go to the airport, and we used to watch people. And just for fun, I'd say, hey, let me tell you about him. I didn't know him from anybody. But I could just, by how he was dressed, or was he in a hurry, or was he whatever. And I would totally make stuff up. You ever done that? And you could just tell, okay, And why does God give us that ability? Is it so we can be a jerk? Is it so we can, you know, are you kidding? I could walk in, 38 years of marriage, I could walk into my wife in my door tonight, I could walk in and I could tell you in 2.5 seconds how her day was. Am I right? The slump of the shoulders, is she exhausted, is she happy, is she sad, mad, glad, bad? I can see it. Is that so I can be a jerk? Let's say she's exhausted and I come in the door and I say, oh, you look terrible. How many think that was helpful? Nobody. That was not. God didn't give me the ability to read her, the body language, how she was, what she was wearing, what she was doing, her facial expression. God didn't give me the ability to read her like a book so I could be a jerk, so I could be mean, so I could be nasty. He did it, write this down, so I could begin to minister to her immediately. That's why. That's why God gives us the ability to size things up, to read people, to understand what's going on just by looking. We're just talking about looking. We're not even to the verbal stuff yet. So you can begin to minister to that person more quickly, more effectively. Yay! Okay, God did that. All right. I would like you guys to practice that. Don't wait till you get home. Do it at Mount Hermon. In fact, it's really much easier to start what I'm talking about today right here. Practice looking at each other. What messages are you sending each other right now? What, when you wake up in the morning, what's the message you're sending? What's the message you want to send before you go to sleep at night? What's the message when you're picking up the kids? What's the message? What's the message? And how could you begin? If my wife is exhausted, I can size it up in 2.5 seconds and say something smart like, or maybe helpful, maybe even godly, like, hey, can I run the bath water for you so you can take a nice hot soaking bath? Can I get you a glass of wine? Can I take the kids? Can we go? Well, I'll take them to the park. You just have some time to yourself. How can I begin to minister to my wife? Am I making sense? The next one's talk less, listen more. Again, you've heard this before. How many ears did God give us? Isn't that funny? How many mouths? God could have created us however he wanted. But even the way he created us should help us remember that most of us need to listen twice as much as we speak. They were talking about this in the main session earlier. We need to listen. Talk about a kindness. That's a huge gift. Sometimes I'll coach couples, and I don't do this very often, but once in a while, a couple will come in, and they've just been hammering each other all week. They haven't said two nice words to each other the whole time. And they come in, and they almost want me to be like a referee and sit down and, you know, like, okay, I'm going to finally, I've been needing to say this for a week, and I'm out of a place, and maybe with Pastor Paul here, maybe I can finally get it out. And people, sometimes I'll let people talk like that and let it go on for a little while. And then I've had this happen. After 20, 30 minutes, the people say, Pastor Paul, you are amazing. I didn't do anything. What's the gift I gave them? I listened. That's a huge gift you guys can give each other. Huge gift. Huge gift. There's some other ones. Suspending judgments, remaining curious. Anybody, you don't have to show me your hand, but anybody in here tend to jump to conclusions? Yeah, you don't have to raise your hand. Okay, so I'm working on this one. I have been working on this one. If I'm not working on this one, I'm not going to do very well. Let's suppose I drive in the driveway. I'm just about ready to pull the car in the garage, and I see glass all over the garage floor. If I'm not working on this, on suspending judgments and remaining curious, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to get out of that car, turn it off, go across that glass on the garage floor, go into the house, go down the hallway to my 17-year-old son's room and say, what did you break this time? Am I right? But I'm working on this. I've been working on this. So I might come in and say, turn off the engine, get out, come in and say, Daddy's home, Daddy's home. And my family will laugh because they'll know what I'm doing. I'm working on this. Daddy has a research question. They'll laugh. I was just wondering, does anybody have any wisdom or insight as to like how glass could be on the garage floor? Now, what am I doing? They're all laughing because they know what I'm doing. I'm trying to remain open. I'm trying to remain curious. Rather than just jamming somebody, buttonholing them, and putting them in a vice grip, I'm trying to remain open about what might be going on there. The next one, ask open-ended questions. Anybody have a high schooler student or know of parents of high schooler students? If you have a high school student, you know about open-ended questions. That's the only kind of questions you can ask. You can't ask closed questions. Like, did you have a good time at the concert? No. End of conversation. That's it for tonight, folks. So in my house, you wouldn't get asked that kind of question. You would be asked a question like this. So when you went to the concert last night, what was the best part? Doesn't even make sense to say yes or no right there, does it? You have to learn to ask open-ended questions. I want you to practice doing that with each other over the next couple days before you leave. Let's communicate. Let's put some active listening skills into place. Look at the bottom one. Briefly rephrase and summarize. At our house, we have this thing called spider webbing. You know, where we're unfocused, our conversations are unfocused, like this reminds you of this, and that reminds you of that, and that, and pretty soon it's like, what are we even talking about? I don't know if you've ever had those kind of conversations at your house, but one way to focus is to say, you know what, honey, out of all those things you just mentioned, what would be the most important thing for us to talk about right now? See what I just did? I just went from the whole universe to... focused on one particular thing, what would be the, out of those things, what should we focus on first? Some way of summarizing, rephrasing, summarizing, bringing those. Now, in addition to those active listening skills, I want to suggest that questions are huge. Have you heard the phrase, a picture is worth 1,000 words? You've all heard that, right? I believe that, but I also believe a good question can be worth 1,000 words. I just wrote 3 kinds of questions I deal with mostly. Ones that clarify, ones that isolate issues, ones that uncover issues. The first one is clarifying issues. What's the most famous question of a 2-year-old?
Why?
Isn't that funny? The whole world knows that. How can we all know that? Because that's what they do. Why? So little Johnny, you know, mom says, hey, Johnny, we need to go to the store. Why? Well, because we need to get some bread. Why? Well, so we have something to put the peanut butter on. Why? And little Johnny will do that all the way to the store, down the aisle, and out the checkout stand. Am I right? That's what he does. Now, I'm not asking you, in dealing with each other, to be obnoxious 2-year-olds, but what does a why question do? It takes us back. It peels like onion layers. It peels back the issue. And that is a really good thing. Now that I've mentioned it, you'll notice that even I ask that. You'll hear me say it. Like, why do you think that was so important? A why question to clarify the issue. And then isolate the issue. That's what I was getting at when I talked about rephrase and summarize. Any cowboys in here? Yeah, me either. Okay, so they tell me, you've seen the movies or heard the stories of the people that can say, yeah, they're sitting, you know, on the edge of the corral. Yeah, I could put a rope, I could put a lasso around that brindle steer. There's 500 critters out there. And amazingly, they do. They isolate. That is the gift you can give. When I was saying earlier about, out of all the things we could focus on right now, on this issue with finances or sexual intimacy or parenting or the in-laws or whatever that, what is the thing that we should focus on right now about that? That's a huge gift. Ask questions about that. And here's my favorite. Questions that uncover issues. What does the drill do? It goes down through layers, doesn't it? That's what a drill does. I can save you so much time on your next fight. You ready? Here's how you do it. Go right to the beliefs. The beliefs. What do you believe about this? You can pay me later. I just saved you 40 minutes on your next fight. Write this down if it helps. The reason why I call it the pathway of beliefs, other people use other terms to describe it, and that's fine. But the reason why is because my beliefs are my underlying convictions that motivate everything I say, think, and do. Yes? That's what my beliefs are. They're my underlying convictions that motivate me. My beliefs are bedrock. And my beliefs inform, write this down if it helps, my beliefs, I call it the pathway of beliefs, my beliefs inform my values. Now, in the corporate world, we can all talk about values all day long. Nobody has a problem. But as soon as you start talking about beliefs, everybody runs for cover. Is that right? I always like to ask people, but you know, when they start talking values, so like, where did you get your values from? Well, it turns out they got them from their beliefs. But anyway, our beliefs inform our values. I don't value things I don't believe in. Yes? Everybody good? And that informs my commitments. What I will or will not do. I don't do things I don't value. I'm not going to be involved in them. What I will, that informs my commitments. My commitments inform how I think and feel. Like, what are you thinking? What are you feeling right now? Well, I'm thinking about the things I'm committed to because I value them, because I believe. Am I making sense? That's how I think and feel. And that informs my behavior or my actions, what you actually see me do. throwing things, going places, whatever I do, I can tie all the way back to beliefs. Does that make sense? I believe somebody needed to hear that today, because what we need to do in some of the issues that we are working through as couples particularly, we need to go back and say, what do you believe about that? That thing with the in-laws, what do you believe is going on? That thing with finances, what do you believe God wants our finances to look like? We just saved a ton of time. Otherwise, you're going to be dancing around up here on the surface saying, ah, how come you always, and we're just going to be all frothy at the mouth. We need to get down to what's really going on. And again, I'm setting you up. I'm setting you up. I'm almost ready to deliver. I'm still setting you up. I'm setting you up with, we're moving towards, how can we communicate without fighting? And before we actually get there, we have to take a little intermediate step and say that actually we can save half the fights in America if we do this one thing, and that is schedule time to talk. It's so simple we'll trip on it. I promise you, you didn't need a rocket science degree to figure this out. But it's so amazing in America. Here's how most of the fights in America start. Are you ready? Hey! Get back in here. Sit down. Nobody talks to me like that. We're going to figure this out. That's half the fights in America right there. You got upset. You felt betrayed. You felt offended. Something went down. You're going to fix it. You're going to work on it. No way. And we even put a godly spin on it, my wife and I, when we were young. Young and naive. You know what we did? Remember that Bible verse? Don't let the sun go down on your wrath? Yeah, we kind of use that as a battering ram for each other. And we said, we are not going to go to sleep until we figure this out. Okay, so it's 4 in the morning. We're still fighting. Someone's got to get up at 6 and go to work. And we're still fighting. What if we had just scheduled it? What if we said something like this? You know that thing that happened, not in the moment, but that thing that happened an hour ago? Or that thing that happened yesterday? Notice what I'm having to do. I'm having to have self-control. And I come back later and I say, you know that thing that went down that didn't work very well for us? Remember? You remember. Like, we were so mad. We couldn't even stand each other. Yeah, that thing. That thing that went down. You know that thing? Could we? I've actually been thinking about that. Could we have a conversation about that? Why am I doing this? Because we're not going to talk about it until Jesus comes, but we do need to carve out some time to have a conversation about that and schedule it. How about today after lunch? We got that thing. Tomorrow night. Tomorrow night after dinner. My calendar's free. How about yours? Could we sit down and have a conversation about that thing that went down? That would save half the fights in America right there. It's so simple. We're not even being godly yet. We're just being smart. What happens? You go to the doctor's office and they test your reflexes. You all done that? This is how we fight. You hit me, I hit you. You say something mean to me, bang! It's involuntary. What if we could add, do you know the difference between a reaction and a response? It's just time and space. What if let's not try to make it too spiritual, too quickly. What if I could just add some time and some space? I could cool down. I could think about it. I'm a Christian. Maybe I could pray about it. If I could just add some time and space, I could give you a response instead of a reaction. Am I making sense?
Yes.
Schedule a time and place. Some of you need to have a crucial conversation with each other about something that is hard, that you're trying to figure out, that you're struggling with, you disagree on, whatever. The idea is to schedule it. Schedule a time and a place to talk so you have a chance to think about it. And the second thing is to think deeply about the outcome. Okay, we're not to rocket science yet. This is really, really simple, but it will save you. Somebody needs to go out and try this today. I'm going to schedule a time. We're going to talk this afternoon about that hard thing that's going on in our marriage, or about the kids, or about the finances, or about our sex life, or whatever. That thing that's hard to talk about, that we either, every time we talk about it, we get in a fight, or we just don't talk about it because we're afraid we're going to get in a fight. That thing. We're going to schedule it. Schedule the time to talk about that. And now we are going to think deeply about what we would like to see as an outcome. How many of you would go into your boss's office and just start jacking your jaws and hoping something good would come out? None of us. Imagine me just going in there to my boss's office and just start flapping, hoping something good would come out. That's how we fight with each other. I can't believe it. We ought to bring our A game home. We would never do that at work. What would we do? If you were going to go in and ask for a raise, if you were going to go in, there's a difficulty between coworkers or employee, employer, if there's something going down with the process and the product line in manufacturing, whatever it is, you would think about that, and then you would go into the boss's office with a desired outcome in mind. Can I suggest we do the same thing with each other? What a concept. God has given us wisdom. We can do this. Somebody's going to get encouraged here before we're done. We can do this. God cares about the outcomes. He cares about our lives. He cares about what's going in. So I need to prepare. I need to prepare for this. Now, I've been setting you up. Now we're finally getting to the thing I really want to share with you this morning. And it's this. There are three questions that come out of a book that's a corporate book. It's not even a Christian book. It's called Crucial Conversations. You can go online, look at it. If you're a corporate person and you want to do that, it's a great read. Many authors have contributed to it. I'm not going to make you read the book, but there is three questions that they use in the book that I use with couples all the time. Three very, very simple questions. And in order to understand how we can move forward with crucial conversations in a way that actually brings us together, we're going to have to understand that we have to prepare. And when we prepare for that outcome, there's three questions I want you to use, not only for the conversation, but for preparation for the conversation. And the first one is what? What do I need? What do I need? I can almost hear God going, yes, that would be good for you to ask. You're coming to have a hard conversation with your spouse, the one that I gave you, the one that you love more than life itself. You might want to ask, what is it that I really need here before I get into the conversation? Now, if we're talking about a shallow level, our needs are going to be really different. Here's a shallow answer to what do I need. You ready? I need you to sit down and shut up. How helpful was that? Is that pretty helpful? That really moved the conversation forward? No. How about I think deeply about what I need? Which is why I put those words over on the right side of the screen. Can I just run some scenarios with you? You guys okay with that? I have a fertile imagination, so let me just run some of the scenarios I hear all the time. Imagine you talking to your spouse and hearing something like this. You know what I really need? About going to your in-laws' house. Yeah, it's just not working for me. When I go to your side of the family, when I go to the family reunion thing that your family wants to have all the time, like every week or whatever, it's just like, whenever we go there, I guess, I've thought about this, prayed about it a little bit. I guess The reason why that isn't working for me is I just don't feel accepted by your family. When we go to your house and your brothers and sisters and aunts and uncles and everyone, I feel like I'm the odd man out. And you wonder why I keep dragging my feet. Like putting myself out and planning our vacation or our time and whatever around. I guess I just don't feel accepted. I don't feel accepted. Or imagine hearing something like this. You know that issue about our finances? Every time we sit down and talk about this, it turns out to be the same thing. We just get crazy with each other. And I think I've figured out part of why that is. I feel like every time we talk about finances, I'm the bad guy. I feel totally disrespected. I'm always wrong. You're always right. I'm the bad guy. Sucks to be me. That's how I feel when I talk to you about our finances. By the way, notice that I didn't say whether I'm the saver or the spender. Because the saver can be feel like the bad guy, you know, the party pooper. Like, why can't you be more fun? The saver can feel like the bad guy, or the spender can feel like the bad guy. I always feel like I'm the bad guy. I feel totally disrespected. Or imagine another scenario. You know, honey, why I think we're struggling with that sexual intimacy issue? That we just can't seem to get right or get over or work through. I think I figured out one of the key issues about us talking about that sexual intimacy issue that we have. I don't feel safe. I don't feel safe. I mean, you run in here, it's 10 o'clock, you jump in the sack and say, let's do this, and that's like the first nice thing you've said to me all day. And you want me to take my clothes off? Guess again. I don't feel cherished. You want me to expose everything? I don't even know if you care yet. I don't feel safe. I'm supposed to get all vulnerable with you. I promise you, whatever the issue is, there's an underlying issue. People come into my office and say, Pastor Paul, we need you to help. We got a communication issue. I don't know everything, but I know that it's not just a communication issue. People come into my office and say, we got a sexual intimacy issue. I don't know everything about everything, but I do know one thing. It's not just sex. There's an underlying issue under that. Am I making sense? And that thing is fueling. And that's making me crazy. And something is not, I am not feeling loved. I'm not feeling respected. I'm not feeling safe. I'm not feeling valued. I'm not feeling, like we heard today, kindness. I wanted to jump up and say, hey, could I add my 2 cents? The thing I hear most in relational coaching is I just wish my husband would be kind. Isn't that funny? Out of all the things in the world, like good provider and protector and just all the things, yeah, you got it, honey. No, kind, like good manners. Like please and thank you, like open the car door. Kind. Could you just be kind? I hear that more than anything else. There's an underlying issue. Okay, we good? I need to know what I need. Before I go into the conversation to try to work something out, no matter what the issue is, I need to know what I need, and at a deep level. Shall I go on? Number two? Are we having fun yet? You guys look pretty serious. Okay. The second thing, this will crack you up if you've not heard this. The second thing I need to know, guess what? It's what they need. Oh. I had a pastor friend tell me once, he says, Paul, I'll know you really understand the whole issue. Not just half the issue or your half of the issue. I'll know that you really understand what's really going on, like the whole issue, when you can convince me of the other person's point of view. Think about that for a second. Of course I know what I want. But what do they need? Could one of you come home from work and say, you know what, honey, I'm just not feeling up to it tonight. Could you go ahead and make my case for me? Could you do it? Could you do it? Could you make each other's case? Like, do you know what they need? Now, if we are talking about surface, what we need is really different. But wait. If we're talking surface, it's very different what each other needs. But guess what? If you go deep, what you need is not all that different from what your spouse needs. They also need respect. They also need to be safe. They also, am I making sense? If you go deep, your needs aren't that different. What do they really need? Usually it comes down to the same things. God is asking us to walk a mile in somebody else's shoes. I need to know that not only my concerns, I need to say, so what, before I go into this conversation, before we sit down and actually have the talk, do I know what my spouse needs? Have I thought about it from their perspective? How many know that if you get it wrong, you still get an A for effort? Somebody say amen. Wouldn't that be cool? What if your spouse came up to you and says, you know, actually, you're way off, but you know what? I love it that you thought about me. You actually thought about me. It's not always about you. You thought about me. That's huge. What do I need and what do they need? I want you guys to practice this with something that's really knocked down, drag out, hard to talk about. Will you practice? Will you take my challenge and have that conversation, if at all possible, before you leave Mount Hermon? Schedule the time. Pray. Don't react. Pray. Say, God, I need some wisdom here. Could we go over to the field house, go on the trails, go to your room? Find a place and a time and think about it, pray about it, and have a conversation where you're not just talking about what you need, but then surprise your spouse by saying something like, and then I thought about you. And I thought, so what would they need? And I thought about you, and I thought about the kids, and I thought about the family, and I thought about your work, and I thought about this. And I'm guessing this is probably what you need. Am I close? A for efforts, folks. And then, this is the one I like the best. Number three. And what do we want our relationship to look like moving forward? Now, this is the one that's really fun because this is one where I move the goalpost. Okay, you thought you were heading this direction to score, but it's over here. So for this one, I need this, and I've shared this before. I need every eye up here on this wall, okay? Got your eyes? Got your attention? Good. If this helps, you can use it at your house. We have a little saying at our house, and it goes like this. If we can't agree on what color to paint this wall, it's too early to buy paint. Some of you will get that later. We get that? It's not too hard. Not too hard. Not too hard. If we can't agree on what color to paint this wall, it's too early to buy paint. Why? Because the most important thing in this conversation that we're having, this knock-down, drag-out conversation, isn't the decision. Are you kidding me? Are we going to stand before God someday and God's going to say, really? Green? Go straight to hell. No, he's not going to do that. Is he? Am I in a church camp? He is not going to send you to hell for painting the wall a certain color. But he might ask you this. He might say, yeah, so whatever on the color, but here's what I am interested in. What did you do with the relationship that I gave you? Did you honor one another? Did you prefer one another in love? Did you do 1 Corinthians 13 in that conversation? Love is patient, love is kind. Yeah. All that stuff we like said at the wedding. Yeah. All that. That, the most important thing isn't the decision. The most important thing is the what? The relationship. Oh, that might help me on my next fight. The most important thing isn't getting my way. The most important thing isn't what color we're doing it or when we're doing it or how we're doing it or why we're... The most important thing is not winning. How many know that if I win and my wife loses on this, how many know that we have not won? How many know if she wins and I lose, we have not won? Marriage is a team sport. Imagine the teams, you know, that win the national championships. Imagine half the team stays down. You know, only the third baseman and the... No. Either the whole team wins or the whole team loses. Same in marriage. God says, you don't win unless you both win, unless you both get across the line. There's no more, I win, she loses, we're good. No, no, no. God says, he can't honor that. And that's not the most important thing. The most important thing isn't that you got your way, you selfish little whatever. No, the most important thing is that you move the relationship forward. The opportunity that God wants you to see in this, that nobody in the world is going to see unless you have the Holy Spirit of God in you, is that God can actually use this really, really hard, difficult decision, this really troubling area of life, this whatever, to teach you more about himself, more about each other, so that you would be able to say something like this. You know what, honey? This is hard. But I feel... After going through this, I feel like I appreciate you more. I understand you better. I never really thought about that like that before. In that sexual intimacy thing, that financial thing, that in-law thing, whatever. I think I understand you better. For having had the conversation. Did we decide? Is everything perfect? Maybe, maybe not. If I didn't decide on that decision thing that we're trying to decide on, I can still have more meetings. Yes? I can still have more meetings. I can schedule more times to talk. We can still have more. But what's happened is I feel closer to you. I appreciate you. I understand you better. I feel like this was hard, but the relationship took a step forward. And God goes, well done. That was the whole point. The whole point was I used this to bring you together. You care. You understand. You get it. You opened up. You cared for each other. You were vulnerable. Is there any relationship in the whole wide world that can't stand more of that? Is there any situation you can think of in your marriage that couldn't use a little more caring, a little more appreciation, a little more respect, a little more cherishing, a little more moving forward. Oh my goodness. What was supposed to take us out has done what now? Brought us closer together. Moved us forward. Does that mean everything's easy? No. That means we took the hard thing and we were careful and we didn't react, we responded, and we have now a template. What do I need? What do they need? And what do we want our relationship to look like moving forward? And that was not only a part of the prep, but now it is actually part of the conversation itself. And now we are sitting down talking about something that always used to make us crazy. Is this good news to anybody? If not, I'm just going to go home. No, really, can you see this? If you can't see it, if you can't imagine God giving you some tools here and some wisdom here, if you can't imagine this helping you, we're all wasting our time. But if you can catch a glimpse of, you know, maybe that wouldn't solve everything, but that could move us forward. That could get us unstuck when we talk about that certain thing. Here's my challenge. My challenge is to communicate in such a way that you develop the ability to have difficult conversations in such a way that you feel closer and appreciate one another more for having had the conversation. I believe that's what God wants to do. And God wants to give those of you that are willing to try this, even before you come off Mount Hermon, He wants to give you a blessing. He wants to give you a picture of how things could be different moving forward in really, really difficult areas. And I would like to pray for you. And then I have a couple things to say about tomorrow. Can I do that? Heavenly Father, I just thank you so much that you love us so much, that you are willing you're willing to go to all kinds of lengths for us to have a relationship with you and to give us wisdom so that we can go to the lengths we need to go to have relationships with one another that are holy, that are healthy. And God, I pray that there would be courageous couples in here. God, some of us might just blow this off, but I pray that there would be some couples in here, God, that would say, we're going to try this on that next issue, on that thing that keeps bugging us, on that thing that we need to make a decision about. God, we want to trust you that as we use your wisdom, as we use your principles, as we speak the truth in love and let no unwholesome talk out of our mouth, as we use these active listening skills, God, as we prepare, God, as we use this template, that God, you would bless us in that conversation. Would you do that? For we pray this in Jesus' name, amen. I believe God wants to do that. God wants to bless you guys. Let me just say a couple things about tomorrow. Tomorrow, I'm going to do a completely different seminar on how to manage or hold our narrative in a way that helps us to manage major life transitions. We're going to talk about story, movies, books, and how they develop. And how it's okay to have some problems to work through, and how you work through transitions. I happen to be in one right now myself, so I am not just blowing smoke at you guys. I happen to be between jobs right now. So how many know I get to practice what I preach? Yeah, so going between jobs, going to having new things in life, kids, graduations, jobs, or they can be, that they're positive, but they can also be really negative. You heard some bad news about your health, or parents are retiring, or this went down, or you lost your job, or you've lost your loved one, or whatever. We're going to talk about major life transitions and how God can help us hold our narrative, hold our storyline as we go through those things. going to be powerful. Tell your friends, family, come out and check us out tomorrow if you want to do that. Also, I have some openings. I still have some openings for speed coaching. So if this has brought up something today with you as a couple, I'd love to see you as a couple or as an individual, and you want to talk about something that is special or particular to you, and say, you know, I would just like to talk about our situation or this situation. If you'd like to do that, please see me right afterwards, and I'll sign you up for a half-hour slot. We'll do some speed coaching right out in front of the auditorium there under the trees. Okay? God bless you. Thanks for coming. Yay.